Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this very important Easter Sunday is this: Resurrected Christ, Radical Changes. Based on the lesson from Acts 10 that Everett read for us earlier, especially these verses, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but he accepts people from every nation who fear him and do what is right. This is the message, the good news of peace for all through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. I encourage you to open up your bulletins and find the green sermon insert as you follow our sermon, Resurrected Christ, Radical Changes. When you look up the word radical in the dictionary, here's what you find. Radical. Proceeding from the root. Reaching to the source. Getting back to the fundamentals. To be radical does not mean to be crazy or strange, as we use the word today. Radical means to be the way we were supposed to be. The story is told of a Sunday school teacher who wanted to teach her children the importance of not abusing alcohol. So to class one day, she brought a glass of water, a glass of whiskey, and some fishing worms. And she put the worms in the water, and the worms swam around quite happily. Then she put some worms in the glass of whiskey, and the worms quickly shriveled up and died. And she asked the class, "Now what lesson have we learned?" And one little boy's hand shot up and he says, "If you've got worms, drink whiskey." Obviously, the teacher's example did not get to the root of the issue. Her example did not produce the radical change she wanted for her kids. But for us today, on this Easter Sunday, 2009, the resurrected Christ means radical changes. It was true for Peter. Did you listen to the lesson from Acts chapter 10? Shortly after that first Easter, we find an upset Apostle Peter. He's shaken. He's upset. He's disturbed. Nothing could have prepared him for what he was about to experience. Here's the scene. Peter is on his rooftop. And he's praying. And God comes to him in a vision and says to him three times to eat certain kinds of food. A Jewish person would never let cross his taste buds. These foods were forbidden for religious reasons. Even to consider these foods would make Peter gag and retch. No wonder Peter replied like this in the text, "Surely not, Lord." But God said, "Peter, I have made these foods clean, and you're to eat them." For Peter, this was radical. But for Peter, it didn't stop with food. God also next tells Peter to go have this meal with a Gentile, a non-Jewish family. And again, for Jewish traditional reasons, Jews did not enter the house of Gentiles. Peter lived his life avoiding Gentiles, not even touching what belonged to them. To sit with them at a meal would be like sitting with someone who had a plague you were afraid of catching. Peter said, "It's just too much to ask, Lord. It's just too radical." But Peter does what he's told to do. He eats food he's never eaten before, with people with whom he never dreamed he would associate. Everything has changed for Peter. This is radical. Why? Jesus has risen from the dead, and nothing can be the same again. Listen to the text. Peter began to speak, that is, to this Gentile family. I now realize that God does not show favoritism. He accepts people of every nation. This is the good news of peace that comes through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all. A resurrected Christ brings changes to our lives today as well. God wants to bring people together who aren't usually seen together. God wants people who often avoid one another to sit down together at the same table. God wants to reconcile people whose pride and stubbornness and rebellion separates them from one another. For many people, this sounds too radical. Think about it. We live in a world where people focus on differences. If you dress one way, you belong to one group and not another. Those who wear black leather and nose rings usually don't associate with elderly widows. Those who drink fancy coffees and munch goat cheese on sun-dried tomato bagels, let the reader understand British Columbia residents, usually don't run in the same circles with those cowboys who gobble down steak and potatoes. People recently moved from Alberta. The political left is against the political right. Skin color separates. Language differences separate. Minority immigration into Canada. Minority immigration into Richmond. Make some Canadian-born citizens a little nervous. Differences separate families, even Christian families. When someone in a marriage will not let go of "I am always right and you are wrong" attitude, what God has joined together can be torn apart. We live in a time when differences are used to exclude people. When sitting down to the table with people different than us is mighty scarce. Like Peter, we are just not sure about God's call to reconciliation. It just seems too radical. But in the Christian church, let me let you in on a little secret. In the Christian church, we are to be different than the world. We are to be radical. We are to be what God has made us to be. A resurrected Christ means radical change. Just look what changed for Peter. Even though he's still in shock of what God has asked him to do, eating strange food with strange people, he goes to Cornelius the Gentile's house. And listen to these words Peter speaks to this family. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him," which means who puts their faith in Christ, "and who do what is right. This is the message, the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all." No favorites, no partiality, any ethnic background, any color, male or female, rich or poor, young or old, God welcomes and loves all people. Whoever puts their faith in Jesus receives God's promises of forgiveness of sin and life forever in heaven. Just think about this. To be forgiven and accepted by Almighty God, to be accepted, though we are sinful people, it's just doggone radical. What's even more, even though he's stunned, Peter continues speaking to this Gentile family. Listen to what he says in the text. "Jesus of Nazareth went around doing good, healing all who were under the influence of the devil, but he was killed by hanging on the cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen." The message is simple, but it's very powerful. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world to do God's will, to proclaim God's kingdom, to welcome, to love, to forgive all people, to deliver us from the power of sin, to deliver us from the power of death, to deliver us from the power of the devil. Today, Evelyn, hear this Easter promise for you and your family. This very morning at 4 a.m., Evelyn's brother Arthur was taken to heaven. The message of the gospel on Easter Sunday, and by the way, what a day to go to be with the Lord, Easter Sunday. The message is simple. Jesus has won the victory over death and devil and sin for all who put their faith in him. He was crucified on a cross, and he died, but God the Father raised him from death. The grave could not hold him. Death would not be victorious over him. The devil would not have the final word. Everything that was needed for all of us to be with God forever in heaven was accomplished that resurrection day. My friends, it's just radical. Even though Peter is shaken, he continues to eat a meal with this Gentile family, and listen to what he goes on to say from Acts 10. Peter says, Jesus was seen by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He is the one God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name. Look at the radical changes God brought to Peter and brings to us. Instead of rejection by our Heavenly Father because of our sin, we are accepted and forgiven. Instead of a cold grave when we die, God gives those who trust in Christ life everlasting and victory forever. Instead of being excluded from God's table and his church, we are invited together to come as God's people. Yes, a resurrected Christ brings radical changes. And so today we gather in God's house with people who are different than us. People older, people younger, people richer, people poorer, peoples whose skins are brown or black or yellow or white, people who wear three-piece suits, people who have nose rings and piercings, people who eat bagels, people who like steak, the contemporary Christian rock music lover, the traditional hymn lover. We're all here together. Together, you might be here together with a family member that you know you love, although they have caused you great pain. As the hymn says to us, just as I am, I come, and God, for Jesus' sake, welcomes each of us. It's just radical. May I share with you a hope, a dream, a vision that I have for our Trinity Lutheran Church, our congregation? It's my prayer that our congregation would strive corporately to be more radical, to get back to the people God has made us to be, to find more and more creative ways to reach out to welcome people who feel unwelcome, who feel unloved, who feel excluded from God's family. There are so many people like this in our lives. Maybe it's our husband. Maybe it's our wife, a family member, an inactive member of this congregation, someone whose feelings have been hurt and have been away for a long time, people you work with, people in your neighborhood. It's time for us here to be radical and to quit doing things the way we've done them here since Noah and the ark. It's time for changes, to find ways to welcome the one who feels excluded into our women's group, into our men's group, into our youth group, into services of worship and Bible study and potluck events. A resurrected Christ means radical changes. Peter could never go back to being the person he was before. Before, he wouldn't even touch or be near a Gentile. And now, they're his best friends in Christ the Lord. A resurrected Christ brings radical changes. It's the story of Easter, and it happens to be the theme of a wonderful movie from a few years ago called Hoosiers. Hoosier is a nickname for the residents of the state of Indiana. I'm not sure why they're called Hoosiers. Hoosier mother, Hoosier father, I don't know why, but that's what they're called, Hoosiers. In this movie, it tells a story of a Cinderella high school basketball team, a very small basketball team. Many years ago, before teams in provinces or states played against schools their own size, it was one championship for all size of school. This was a story of a school of about 100 kids who played in a state championship against a team of a school of about 3,000. And one important character in this movie is nicknamed Shooter. Shooter has failed at most things in his life. Shooter is an alcoholic, but he has an extraordinary knowledge of and passion for basketball. The coach works with Shooter to give him a second chance. And soon, Shooter is on the bench with the rest of the team as the assistant coach, and Shooter has quit drinking. Shooter's son is also on the team, and he's lived with the shame of his father's public drunkenness for years in a small town. He's afraid of how his father might make a fool of himself and embarrass him in front of his teammates and the rest of the school. But during a very important game, the semifinal game, the coach decides to get himself thrown out of the game so that Shooter will have to take over as the coach. And he gets thrown out. Shooter has to take over, and he's terrified. Every eye in the gym is upon Shooter. People who know firsthand his failings and his screw-ups, his own son hoping against hope that his father won't do something that embarrasses him. The game is almost over. The score is tied. The team is in a huddle, and every eye is upon Shooter asking him, "What shall we do?" Shooter is scared spitless. But he catches a glance from the coach in the wings of the gym. And he catches a glance from his own son. And the glance of his son and the coach both tell him the same thing. "Shooter, you're a changed man. We believe in you." Shooter then excitedly explains a creative play. The team is behind him. They all say, "Go." They go onto the court. They run this play to perfection, score the winning basket, and win the game. And the gym erupts with amazing celebration. In the midst of the celebration, the camera hones in on Shooter and his son. And his son looks at his father in the eye, his father of whom he'd been ashamed for so many years. His son looks at his father in his eye and says these wonderful words, the climax of the whole movie: "You did good, Pop. You did real good." A weak, fallen man has his entire life turned around because someone took a chance on him, a radical chance. And what was the result? He was resurrected from the waste heap of life and given a brand new life. My friends, in Christ Jesus, Almighty God has done a radical thing for you. Jesus' death on the cross and his Easter resurrection has given you forgiveness, has given you a new start, has given you a brand new life, and yes, even life everlasting. Today, the hymns and songs are sung with amazing joy and emotion. Sweet-smelling flowers fill the sanctuary, proclaiming the wonderful news. Attendance is high, clothes are special, things are different. Why? A resurrected Christ brings radical changes to our lives. He forgives our sins. He gives us new life. He gives us the gift of heaven. Like he did for Peter, he gives us a brand new heart for those who are different than we are. He makes us into a new people, a radical people who can't wait but welcome others who are different into the arms of a God who loves all people the same. My friends, that's the resurrection. And that's radical. In the name of Jesus, amen.